Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're in the book of Exodus. Exodus, where God is delivering his people. But it doesn't feel that way right at the start. Exodus chapter 5, this is God's word. "Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert.' Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go.' Then they said, 'The God of the Hebrews is met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword.' But the king of Egypt said, 'Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work.' Then Pharaoh said, 'Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working.' That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and foremen in charge of the people: 'You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, "Let us go and sacrifice to our God." Make the work harder for the men, so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies.' Then the slave drivers and the foremen went out and said to the people, 'This is what Pharaoh says: I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all.' So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, 'Complete the work required of you for each day just as when you had straw.' The Israelite foremen appointed by Pharaoh's slave drivers were beaten and were asked, 'Why didn't you meet your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before?' Then the Israelite foreman went and appealed to Pharaoh, 'Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we are told, "Make bricks." Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people.' Pharaoh said, 'Lazy. That's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, "Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord." Now, get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks.' The Israelite foreman realized they were in trouble when they were told, 'You are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day.' When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them, and they said, 'May the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us.' Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Oh Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all.'" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I've had the privilege of traveling to many beautiful places around the world, but my first trip to Israel, I felt as if I was coming home. The stories I had learned in childhood came alive as I visited the actual places where these events happened. The wonderful truth about our faith is that it isn't built on myths and make-believe. Christianity is grounded in the facts of history. To be able to walk in the places where Jesus walked, to look out over the beautiful Sea of Galilee, to enjoy the ancient city of Jerusalem, and pray on the Mount of Olives amid the ancient trees is an unforgettable experience. I took my wife and two of my children with me the first time I went to Israel. This time, I'd like to take you. Visit our website for complete details.
To learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood, visit wvr.org/Israel.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
If that was the only chapter in the Bible, it'd be pretty discouraging, wouldn't it? Moses is sent by God to bring a message to Pharaoh because God has declared that he's going to rescue his people. But God has also said ahead of time, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will not let my people go until I have forcefully done great signs and wonders that will include the death of his firstborn son. So this is not a departure from what God had said before the whole process started. But a lot of us want to jump right to the end. A lot of us want to skip over the part about, don't you know that in this world you'll have tribulation? But don't be afraid. I've already overcome the world. All who would live godly in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. Over and over, we are told that we should not expect the approval of men, that in fact, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be criticism. There's going to be slanderous persecution. That is to be expected. Jesus said, that's the way they treated me. It's the way they're going to treat you. But we skip over that. And we want to go straight for the resurrection without the crucifixion. It's not offered by God, but that's the way we'd like to script it. We would like to think in terms of just getting to the finish line without having to run the race. Can anybody relate to this or not? I mean, I would love, as I've said before, to be a great pianist. I just don't want to have to practice. We want the harvest without plowing and planting and cultivating crops. We want everything to end up right without our going through what God says we have to go through. And God had already told his people through Moses that he was going to deliver them. But he told Moses, there's going to be some tough stuff along the way. Well, now here's some of the tough stuff. God said he heard the cries of his people because they were being treated ruthlessly. It was already bad before this happened. Chapter 5 isn't where the trouble starts. Chapter 5 is where the trouble gets worse after God has told his people, I'm going to deliver you. Well, the people are not happy. They're not happy with their circumstance. They're not happy with Moses and Aaron. And they're really not happy with God. So Moses decides he's not very happy with God either. And if you look at what he says to God, it's not terribly respectful. He says, is this why you sent me? You have brought trouble upon this people. But it was kind of true. I mean, we don't like to blame God. As we said in the previous chapter of Exodus, God says, who makes a man blind or able to see? Who makes him deaf and mute or able to speak? Is it not I, the Lord? God takes credit even for our troubles. But again, we want to rewrite theology and ignore certain parts of the Bible and just say, no, God only does the fun stuff. And yet there are times when suffering is a gift. And ultimately, this will not only be for the good of the people, this is going to be for the glory of God. God is going to use the hardness of Pharaoh's heart in order to provide the arena where all the gods of Egypt will be absolutely humiliated. Those demonic forces that the people exalted and worshiped as gods are going to be humiliated by the power of God. And God will display his glory. And folks, that is not a vain thing. That is a gracious thing because it is God's disclosure of himself. It is God making it possible for his people and for the Egyptians to know that he alone is God. That's a gift. When God reveals his glory, it is a gift to us so that we may know him, and knowing him is eternal life. Knowing God is what we were made for. It's what the purpose of life is all about. It's not that we need to have some kind of working relationship with God so that we can get what we want. The reason we need to know God is that we might be and do what he desires. We were made by him and for him. You and I were created to have a relationship with him. And so when God discloses, reveals who he is, that's a gift. That is a wonderful gift to us, and God is in the process of demonstrating his power, and that's for the good of his people, as well as the glory of his name. These folks are in a situation where the power of Pharaoh seems to be tremendous, and the power of God seems very small. And God speaks through Moses and says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, who is the Lord that I should obey him? I don't know him. Wow. That's the problem. Before this is over, Pharaoh is going to know who God is. And guess what Pharaoh is going to discover about himself? He is not God. He is not in charge. But Moses is distressed. Moses returned to the Lord, verse 22, and says, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he's brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. What's going on? Why? Because God had told them that there would be resistance. And so the resistance took the form of no straw in order to make the bricks. And you've still got to make just as many bricks as before. Now, how many bricks did they have to make before? We don't know the number. We just know that it was ruthless, oppressive slave labor. So I'm in a really bad situation, and now it gets worse. Did the circumstances get worse, or was that just an emotional overreaction on the part of the Israelites? No. The situation really got worse. They were now being beaten because they couldn't produce what was being asked of them. They already were being ruthlessly oppressed, unreasonable demands placed on them, and now Pharaoh's just upped the ante and is accusing them of being lazy. Now imagine you're exhausted and you're scrambling, working long hours, trying to get things done. It's unreasonable. And when you ask the top boss, Pharaoh, can you please cut us some slack. This is not realistic. We cannot accomplish what you're asking us to do. His response to them is, lazy. That's what you are. Lazy. Were they lazy? Well, maybe some of them were, but that wasn't the problem. The problem was a goal that was unachievable. Pharaoh knew they couldn't do it. But he didn't value their lives. He thought there were too many of them to begin with. This was early Darwinian management. We're going to just push everybody, and those who die, we can do without, and those who survive will be the best workers. God saw the suffering of his people. God had compassion on his people, and yet God was going to allow his people to suffer some more and even to have a temporary increase in their suffering in order that when he delivered them, they would know they had been delivered by the one God who is God. And that would be a great gift to his people. I have a friend right now out on the West Coast who used to work here at the ranch, and she's battling cancer all in her body, and she has horrible pain every day. And I'm praying for her day after day. But what I know is this, it may get worse before it gets better. I have a friend in the Chicago area who is also got cancer and is horribly plagued with anxiety and depression. And that person has come to faith in Christ and is seeking to trust the Lord and calls me and asks me to pray with him. And I know he's having a hard time. And I know that in the end it's all going to be fine, but right now it may get worse before it gets better. I have a son who's going through an extremely difficult ordeal right now. And I believe that by God's grace, it's all going to come out well, but it may get worse before it gets better. So, I don't know what you're going through. But I do know that when God hears your cry and comes to rescue you, it often seems to get worse before it gets better. The world was such a miserable place. The Romans were oppressing the people. And God's people were coping the best they could. But some of them were crying out, Lord, send us the Messiah. This is such a dark place. We need a deliverer. And God said, I've heard your cries. I'm sending what I promised. A deliverer is coming. And here came Jesus. And people began to say, could this be he? Could this be the one? Could this be the Messiah? And more people began to say, yes, I believe this is it. Yes, we believe he is the one. Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. It looked good. By the end of the week, he was hanging on a cross outside the city gates. I thought he was coming to rescue us. Now what hope do we have? We thought he was the one. The fellows on the road to Emmaus saying we had really hoped this was it. We really thought God was going to rescue us. We thought that everything was about to turn and it was all going to be okay. Jesus began to take them through the scriptures. He said, you're so slow to understand. This is exactly what God promised. But see, they'd overlooked the part about Messiah's death, about his being bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace being upon him. They just overlooked that because it didn't fit with their plan. They just wanted the hallelujah part. They just wanted the happy, joyful part. They did not want the process. They did not want the cross. We read that, we understand that, we say, well, you know, clearly they need to get the whole picture. But then when it's us, God, where are you? God, how can you let this happen? We thought you were getting ready to bless us. We thought that it was all going to be good. We thought that we could trust in you. You can trust in him. He's worthy of worship. Oh, but do you understand what I'm going through? Do you know the pain that I feel? Do you know how scary this is? God does. He understands and he has compassion. But when he starts to work to bring deliverance to his people, sometimes it looks like things get worse. The little boy who needs to have the demon cast out of him. When Jesus commands the demon to leave, the demon throws the boy into a horrible convulsion, and afterwards it looks as if the boy is dead. The disciples are in a boat in the middle of the lake. They've been trying all night to do what Jesus said and go to the other side. They can't because the wind is against them. It's a miserable situation, and all of a sudden Jesus comes to rescue them, and they don't think, oh good, here comes Jesus. They scream in terror because they believe it's a ghost. Paul and Silas are in a jail because of their obedience to the Lord, proclaiming the gospel in Philippi. And as they worship God in the midst of their pain, God sends an earthquake. And that would not seem like a good thing to me. Okay? I don't think it seemed like a good thing to you. If you were saying, oh God, I'm really going through a hard time right now. I just really need your help. Please, Lord, help me. And all of a sudden, the building you were in started shaking and started collapsing on you. Would you say, oh, thank you, Lord? Or would you say, ah, because it seems like, what else could go wrong? Earthquake, I hadn't thought of that. Okay? I'm telling you, it's a pattern in Scripture again and again and again and again, and yet somehow, when we're going through it, we act as if it's totally mysterious and unexpected. Peter says, don't be surprised at the fiery trial you're going through, as if something strange were happening. This is the way God works. So I don't like the way God works. Well, so what are you going to do about it? You better learn to deal with the fact that when God comes to rescue his people, things often seem to get worse. Circumstances often seem to get worse. That is often the way it is. But it's not because God doesn't love you. It's because God understands time in a way that you and I don't feel it. And God understands us in a way that we don't understand ourselves. God has wonderful, beautiful things in store for his children. But in order for us to become what God has designed us to be, we have to go through struggles. That's where we get our strength. It feels to us so difficult, so hard. The process seems so long. But it's really just a fraction of our life. And the fact of the matter is, this whole earthly life is a tiny, tiny fraction of our lives. Because we're going to spend forever somewhere. And if in this life we come to know who God is, so that we trust in him, the result is beauty and strength and service. But if we do not, all is lost. So, Moses, having been told by God, this is what you can expect, forgot and questioned God. But God still stuck with the plan. And God did bring salvation to his people.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.